All right, everyone, welcome to the What the Buck podcast. We have no bumper music still because Kareem is busily working on this year's anthem, which he will be debuting at our kickoff party that we're going to talk about in a second. But as you have become accustomed to and probably spoiled to a certain extent by, we're joined again tonight by the ginger badass, the one, the only, Mark Cook. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate it. And the only reason I'm here is I'm the only one that lives close enough that will come to your house.
That may be true.
Yeah, Steve White's not driving from
Wesley Chapel or West Chase or wherever. You know, we haven't talked to Steve in a while. I talked to him on Facebook. I love to get him back on the show. I know he's been slammed busy, so he's been doing a lot of stuff. So hopefully we'll get him back on the show. We always love his analysis. But yep. I know that he is a little bit like me and that he hates doing all of the TMZ-ish off-season stuff. He wants to wait till they're actually doing football. So I'll hold my markers and begging him to come on. I did speak to Mr. Greg Allman, though. And Greg is more than welcome to come on the show, though I did not try and get him out to the house because I didn't want him to think I had like a side panel van and I was luring him with candy. So if when we're at training camp...
Just tell him that you have a lot of Pokemons at your house.
Oh, that'll bring him, huh? That's the gimmick.
That's
is that what you're doing out in Anna Maria?
Yeah, that's what I do. And actually, in all honesty, that's exactly what we did. At midnight, we would drive around the island so my son could catch imaginary creatures that aren't real. And if he could only spend that much time with his studies, he would be a straight-A student as much time as he spent trying to chase girls and Pokemons.
Well, let's just get this straight. That's what kids are supposed to do, right? He's a young man.
He's 15. He's not a kid anymore.
What the hell were you doing at 15?
I was working.
Okay, Country Kramer.
No, I really was.
Okay.
I'll tell you exactly where I was working. My uncle's plant nursery, shoveling dirt in the pots. Literally, I would fill them up for 2 cents a pot. And then I also worked at the Winn-Dixie, which is the Publix at Valrico and 60. If people know where that is, it used to be Winn-Dixie. I worked there, too.
No one remembers 15. When Winn-Dixie was a real store.
That's true.
That's not true. They're the beef people. We all know that. But they're not a sponsor, so we're giving them no more plugs. At any rate, we'll make fun of your son. I don't make fun of Pokemon. It's just the game that I don't play. Hell, I do enough weird shit. I've done a podcast for 11 years talking to random people across the world
right. That
most of society could give literally two shits about. But...
Well, there goes the PG rating.
I think that one's okay. Like, I actually thought about it before I said it.
Yeah, that's PG.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
So, and I'm gonna stick with that, I think. I'm going to try and stick with it. I know once the season starts, when we do something stupid, right. I will be incapable of doing that. And then I may need to do some post-production stuff and bleep it. I don't know.
Nah.
But I've gotten some really good feedback from people because they can listen to the podcast in their cars. And thus far, my blood pressure is low enough, despite the adipose tissue around my heart, that I can actually not swear constantly throughout the program. So we're going to keep trying to do that. Now, you may piss me off tonight, and it may blow everything
out. Well, and I usually take it to the next level at some point before the show's over that ruins the PG rating.
Yeah, but it's
usually at the end, though.
It is at the end.
Most kids are
in fatigued.
Bed. Right.
It's fatigued. Anyway, welcome to the podcast tonight, guys. It's good to be back. I was out on the West Coast. I want to start off with a little bit of housekeeping and thank some people that we need to thank. First and foremost, we need to thank Bill Curry Ford and Bill Curry Cares. Christy Vanette and the team over there have been phenomenal. We have had... I hate to say resurgence, right? Because we never really went anywhere, but it was a jolt of life that we needed to take us to another level. And we don't know even what the next level is, or the whole nother level, as some rappers might say.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to get to that whole nother level. I can promise you that. And I think we're going to get there with the friendships we're building with like folks like Bill Curry Ford. Now, serendipity is kind of funny. I was out on the West Coast. Sometimes you have good days. Sometimes you have bad days. I've been traveling, had a great vacation with the family. In L.A. for the What a Fan Award show, which I'll discuss a little bit at the beginning, let people know what that was all about, and the ESPYs, which was a lot of fun. And sometimes you just need a piece of good news, you know? And I was sitting there, and I get this email out of nowhere, and it's our friends at Steakhouse Elite. And you've heard me plug Steakhouse Elite now for, what, 6 years that they've been
with
us?
Right.
These guys are just salt-of-the-earth folks out of Oregon, making the best burgers I've ever had. And they call me up or write up an email that, hey, you haven't hit us up yet for this year's sponsorship. We want to be back in. What's going on? And they threw a bunch of stuff at us, and we're going to have a new tent from them. And
did they throw anything towards me by chance?
No, I'm not out there pimping for you, brother. No,
just
you can
one.
Have a burger. If you could just drag your backside out to our tailgate, you could have two burgers even. I bet Chef Pat would make it happen. He'd get you some burgers. Or Ryan Winfrey would get you hooked up.
Well, I'm just waiting on a golf cart. That's all I need.
You are the laziest man I know. You make Sean King look athletic. That is absolutely astonishing.
Well, we both were NFC Championship playing quarterbacks.
Only one of you.
Well, both of us played high school quarterback at Gitt. No, only one. That's true. I was the quarterback at the NFL Air It Out tournament at USF back in 1997, though.
Were you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody that entered could have been the quarterback. So I just happened to be, since it was my team, I decided I was a quarterback. I figured that was the least amount of running I had to do.
That is, in fact, the definition of leadership.
Yes.
Just to own all of it.
Well, it's also delegation, and there's a lot of leadership qualities to go into being a flag football quarterback.
No doubt. I actually am a flag football quarterback and a champion in Seattle.
Wow.
That's where I tore my rotator cuff. I had a very Lindrosian moment, actually. The first two seasons I played, we played out in South Seattle, which is where Sir Mix-a-Lot's from, because that's how hood I am.
Yeah.
My posse was on Broadway, too. But at any rate, we were playing, and we played in this strange gravel stuff, because that's the only thing that would drain the rain out there.
Does it rain in Seattle?
From time to time.
I've heard that.
But I did something. I don't know why I didn't warm up properly, because as you get older, you stop doing the things right. You're supposed to do. Felt a twinge in my arm, kept playing through. I had some really fast guys, so we were very vertical in our offense. And it was so bad, I was taking handfuls of ibuprofen and having my buddy Nathan punch me in the arm until it would numb up to play football, because I'm a moron.
Yes.
Right. Complete moron. Old man playing flag football and still doing Lindrosian stuff. So at any rate, it was a good time.
Wait, look, I literally, this is no joke, I have a tattoo on my arm because of that tournament. Everybody on the team had a tattoo, so I went the night before. By the way, anybody's ever had a tattoo knows that's not the time that you go and get a tattoo the night before your first game.
No,
on your throwing arm.
Frowned upon.
Right, on your bicep.
Oh, it's almost like a tribal tat, it's like
horrible.
A tribal tat for a small girl.
It's 97. I only had $65. It wouldn't go all the way around for
that. That makes Brian Urlacher's tribal tat look like a full sleeve.
So, yeah, it's lame. So in the words of Sir Jimmy Buffett, it was a permanent reminder of a temporary feeling. And
look at you.
Yes, so that's what I look at every morning when I walk by the mirror. I go, boy, that was dumb. And we got bounced out in the second round, so it was a complete waste.
Is it more or less stupid than the tramp stamp you got? That's what I want to know.
Well, that one.
I mean, it's a cute dolphin, and I get the theme above the waistline
in the rainbow and in the big target that I have on there. as well.
Oh God! All right,
there goes the rating.
No, this is fine. I want to thank Steakhouse Elite. I also want. Here's a way to improve on that. Never go on break. Okay, fair enough. I also want to thank Tito's Vodka. Tito's Vodka has come on for us this year for the tailgate. They're going to be the official.
Wait. I know some of your guys. There does not need to be a lot of Tito's Vodka flowing around that tailgate, especially for these 4 o'clock games when you guys roll up at 10 a.m.
So far, I am proud to say we've had no issues with the law or with the medical department that have anything to do with our team. We had one guy get sick, and he was from Charlotte.
I say this year is the year that it happens.
No
There's
way.
A lot of 4 o'clock starts.
We are professionals when it comes to tailgating, so we'll be fine. But Tito's Vodka is going to keep us hydrated because it's almost like water.
Oh, of course.
It's clear. So,
a little agave, it's good.
A little agave, exactly. I would be remiss if I didn't remind people.
Wait, you said remiss. You got to say remissed, like Booger McFarlane says.
Oh, I do? Okay, I would be remissed
there you go.
If I did not remind you. The Bucks kickoff party, which is our thing, right? We're doing it now.
How can
years.
Anybody not know? You are the social media king.
I am so not the social media king, but we're trying to spread the word.
Well,
and
sure
if you guys want to put a banner on your site, that would be great. I've got a web banner that we could give you. It's 800 by 800.
Well, that's about how much it would cost.
Oh, look at you guys. You see, you get in bed with Hard Rock, and you become a high-level hooker.
And some other things.
Nice.
In the works.
Oh, look at you. Are you gonna have some scoop for us tonight?
Not tonight.
Oh, you big punk.
Possibly, well, next Thursday. I won't be here because it'll be the first day of camp, and I'll be at home crying over the sunburn that I have.
How do you get a sunburn? You stay under the tent with the other press goobs.
Yeah, but like there's 8 minutes where we're out on the field.
Oh,
with the
that's right, because you have to go ask questions.
I was born in Germany.
So
Jameis,
how'd you feel out there today? I'm hot. Next question. At any rate.
And that was my answer, actually. I'll answer for him. I'm hot. Oh, I'm sorry, Greg Allman. I thought you were talking to me.
Greg. At any rate, the kickoff party 8:20, 5 to 10 p.m. There's little PSAs going out there. We're collecting school supplies. We're gonna have some great raffles. We got the Jameis Winston Pro Bowl jersey signed. We got some other things coming out that are gonna be pretty spectacular. The concert at halftime, fun time, drink specials, food specials. Ferg's Live has been phenomenal.
Sir Mix-a-Lot's playing halftime.
I wish if I could book Sir Mix-a-Lot, that would make me the king.
He
of
doesn't
social
have
media.
A lot going on right
oh,
now.
Oh, give me a break. The guy's a legend.
Buttermilk
biscuits?
Yeah, no.
Baby got back?
That's it.
I celebrate the entire collection.
All two of them.
There's three of them.
Okay.
Posse on Broadway was... Oh, come on, man.
No, I'm sorry. I missed
that.
At
any rate, if we could get Sir Mix-a-Lot, maybe I'll call Sir Mix-a-Lot, but I know that booking Cheap Trick, we looked into booking Cheap Trick, and it was $250,000 one time.
So are you doing it?
No.
Oh.
No, unless Hard Rock's paying for it.
Sorry, One Voice. You're not getting any money this year because we have Hard.
Yeah, we have Cheap Trick for 6 minutes.
Right.
That was our choice.
Yeah. They're playing Surrender and they're going home.
And then they're going home.
Right.
But be out there. It'll be a great time. We'd love to have you guys come out there. We'll have all sorts of fun. You can actually dunk a super fan or challenge to dunk almost anyone. We're going to do a bounty dunk in the dunk tank. Now, you'll get a chance to throw the balls. But let's say that you want to dunk me. You're not going to be there. You're going to be covering the Jags game, which I understand. But if you wanted to say, I want the fat guy in the water.
But see, then they would have to refill the tank.
Oh!
Oh, that was so easy.
My God. See, I set you up for that?
I mean, a silver platter.
Well, the funny thing with that busted wing of yours, even if you did show up to the party, which you wouldn't.
Wow, I wouldn't hit it
you
anyway.
You wouldn't hit it anyway.
I told you the story about
it's much like your romantic life.
I told you the story about being at the Florida State Fair in the mid-'80s when Dwight Gooden was just coming onto the scene, and his cousin Gary Sheffield happened to be at the Florida State Fair, and the stupid drunk clown in the dunk tank didn't recognize who they were, and made a semi-racial slur.
Oh.
And they both
isn't
ended
that being
up
semi-pregnant.
They ended up dunking this guy. I don't think they missed both of them. That guy was had pneumonia in his lungs from the water they inhaled. That was one of those great stories. And somewhere I have both of their autographs on a love note that Kim Bone wrote me.
That sounds wonderful.
Anyway, no one cares. We don't have any listeners anymore. Can we go home?
No, we do. We have thousands and tens of listeners. at any rate, get out there. We'll have a good time. Next week, no, not next week. Week after next, a bunch of us are heading up to Canton for our Hall of Fame reunion. Big Nasty, myself, Spent, Bucknuts, Bucks Attic, a whole crew. We're getting a whole caravan going up there, having a good time, celebrating the kickoff to the season.
Are you driving, like, caravans, Dodge Caravans?
We're driving a minivan. Bucknut's wife is driving their minivan, so we're all piling in. It's going to be great. It's going to smell like Cheetos and regret.
And farts. Lots of farts.
But we're bringing a bunch of school supplies up for the kids, which will be a lot of fun for those guys.
You mean you literally are driving?
Yeah, we're literally driving. Wow. We normally fly, but they wanted to drive this year. Everyone's saving some cash, so we're going to drive up. And it lets us bring our gear, too, which is
nice.
Why
don't you just pay for everybody?
I don't know why
you got Cheap Trick money.
Cheap Trick.
You got like 9 au pairs running around this house.
Jeez, I wish. Yeah. This is my bachelor week. That would make this week great.
For
if I had 9
kids,
au pairs.
You got
around.
2 kids and you got 9 au pairs.
Good Lord. Anyway, we're going to
Where
Canton.
Is everybody?
They are in Norfolk. They're headed home tomorrow. They'll be back by Saturday.
Well, I'm glad I didn't stop them by Sundays. Thanks for telling me.
Well, if you got here earlier than 2 minutes before the show started, I could have given you more information. I didn't want to interrupt your serious bit.
And you and I could have ate the Sundays.
We could have. See, you ruined everything.
Yeah.
What a Fan Awards in LA was a great time. The ESPYs, big shout out to Lowell Moore and the What a Fan organization, and especially to Scully Bucks fan, who many of you know. He's a Bucks super fan here. Everyone's seen him around doing a great job. He not only allegedly but actually brings the boom. He is also a huge Lightning fan, and he won NHL Fan of the Year because of all the work he did with the Lightning during their Stanley Cup run this year. So big shout out to Scully Buck fan.
Never heard of him.
And all of the super fans who were awarded, especially Sid Davey, super fan from Minnesota.
Wasn't
who was
Scully
one,
the name of the bird mascot in the 80s?
In the
80s,
I was like 7, man. I don't know.
Somebody in the chat room, tell me right now, that was the name. And which should have been a trivia question, but yes, he was the name of the mascot, the parrot.
I will check, but my man Steve in the Facebook area has pulled out Swass, which was another Mix-a-Lot classic.
Swass.
Don't you wish your boyfriend was Swass like me? Come on, man. You got to know Sir Mix-a-Lot. You got to celebrate the whole thing. And I better get a lot of credit for knowing that shit
boy.
Right there. It was good.
I'm going home.
No, you're not.
You're right.
I know. Training camp. We got training camp right around the corner, man. It is literally right around the corner. Are you excited? I mean, I know that this is your real job, and so some of the joy can come out of it. But I know that you really do love football. I know that you really do love the Bucks. Is this the time
I
of the
like
year?
I like the Bucks. I don't love the Bucks.
You love Florida State. You like the Bucks.
Yes.
Okay, just like Scott loves K-State.
Likes
would prefer the Bucks to do well.
No, and everyone knows before I did this job, I was I could have been in your group. Wouldn't have put on the makeup like these guys, but I certainly was a super fan. But when you take the job, it, you know, like I tell people,
steals your
the
soul.
The greatest job, yes, you sell your soul to the devil. And I know there's a lot of listeners out there that would gladly do it because they remind me that if I ever need a pencil holder, a notepad holder at training camp, they'll be glad to do it for free. So I'm fortunate. And,
well, that's the only way fringe media can get in is holding your jock. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Well, it's not the worst job you can have. Well, actually, it
is probably the worst.
Or your jock would be the worst. Mine's the second worst.
Fair enough. But at least mine would require Daquan more
hands. Daquan Bowers would be the worst jock to hold. James Lee.
Oh, Lord. We are definitely going far afield. So training camp's around the corner. We've got a roster review that we wanted to go through some tonight. We've got a bunch of guys who, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned it on a couple podcasts ago. The Bucks are in a situation now where we actually have enough talent on the roster. We think we have enough talent that it's the harder cuts at the end. There may be those surprise cuts here and there. Some guys that we've known the names of for a while who are getting usurped by guys who we don't know. And so what I thought we could do some tonight is first give you a chance, because I know that you've got your fingers on the pulse of the Buccaneers. Let us know if there's some stuff going on that we should know about that we don't. Obviously, right now, from my perspective, outside looking in, the most exciting thing is social media crap about a spouse that I just give zero craps about, right?
I thought that's what we were going to talk about the whole show.
No. Not on this show. No.
Are you sure?
I am quite positive.
They brought it up on Sirius.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Just
because,
briefly, but...
Listen, can you believe it? I tweeted this the other day. I don't know if you saw it. You didn't retweet
it. I knew
I
would get you to talk about it.
Oh, no, it's not that at all. Breaking news yesterday on Mike and Mike.
That wouldn't be breaking.
Well, not today, dumbass.
You confuse me.
I'm sorry. I'll speak slower. I'll speak dumber. I don't know. There was some stuff on the TV with the rabbit ears.
Okay.
At any rate, the Panthers are going to start selling $8.50 bottomless soda this year. They did a 7-minute segment on it.
Wait, who did a 7-minute?
On Mike and Mike.
Wow. It's the dead time, man.
Dude, I don't care how dead it is. Cover a local team, their training camp, the high school kids, something, but it's, soda?
It is. Listen, I can assure you if the Buccaneers offered that tomorrow, that would be front page on pewterreport.com. I am so desperate for anything right now. It's killing me. I'm going through my recorder, and I'm finding Daquan Bowers interviews, and I'm considering posting them.
All right, well, let's talk about something that people actually want to talk about, and that would be the guys on the field. We've got a bunch of folks that we know are going to be in their spots.
The Rays offer $11 bottomless sodas, by the way.
The Bucks have, we get a discount because of club, so I think it's like $7.25 or whatever. We've had it for a long time.
Oh, the Bucks have it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. The souvenir cups are bottomless.
I get a bottomless cup in the press box.
Oh, yeah, I know. You and your Baked Alaska, you guys and your swanky spots.
But we're not allowed to cheer in the press box.
Most of you wouldn't anyway.
We don't know what's going on.
I know. You'd have to understand the game.
We're on our own Facebook.
I wonder why no one will join the damn podcast. All I do is insult people. That's not true.
It is true.
It's sort of true. All right, so let's look position by position. What's the position you're most interested in this season as an expert, as someone who is engrossed in the Bucks? These guys that are coming. We had a lot of folks coming down for training camp. They can go out there and watch, see what's going on. Let's talk about a position that you are going to be focused on this year.
Well, two positions, both defensive end spots, really. I mean, who ends up starting? You know, on the serious thing, I mentioned Noah Spence because we saw him at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Drinking game, take a shot,
drinking
Cheryl.
Game. Cheryl's got a drink now.
But, you know, and you know, on the other side, too. And who is on what side? I mean, what are they going to do with the defensive ends there? You know, listen, 250 pounds is great in 1978 for a defensive end, right? But not in today's NFL. I mean, you know, Noah Spence is not a big guy.
Right.
Is he a three-down guy? Is he going to be a guy that Mike Smith's going to employ some three-man front and have him stand up and come off the edge like Raheem tried to do with Dakota Watson, except Dakota Watson was terrible? You know, so, you know, that's a position that I'm going to be watching and paying close attention to. I want to see if Noah Spence is different than, say, Adrian Claiborne. And I love Adrian Claiborne, but he's a 7.5 sack guy, right? I mean... you know, is Noah Spence that double-digit defensive end guy that this team has been searching for since Simeon Rice? So, you know, that's to me, that's something to watch. And you and I talk about it. We love the one-on-one battles. Love to watch what the offensive line does against the defensive line. So, to me, that's going to be one of the most intriguing things. So I can't wait till they get into pads and we have the first day of that, because I want to see what Noah Spence can do, because we didn't see a lot of anything in training camp. It's really hard to tell. Again, you know, look, he had 38 sacks in OTAs because he couldn't, you know,
yeah, no one
really
could hit him.
Block. He couldn't be hit. So, you know, he looked great. Defense looked tremendous. But let's put the pads on and see where they're at. And, you know, that's what I want to see. Can Jaquie Smith stay healthy for 16 games? Because if he does, there's your double-digit sack guy, in my opinion. I think the guy has the ability to do that. But then, you know, what else? Where else? I mean, who else? Who else steps up there? And that's in that defensive end position. And so... to me, that's something to keep an eye on and watch. You know, then I want to see what J.R. Sweezy's all about. I mean,
well, before we get off of defensive ends here, I want to talk about this, because I think this is a really interesting point. And what I need to do is go back and watch Mike Smith's defense over time, because, you know, the NFL is a copycat league. We've talked about this for 11 years now. And
when you go back and watch the watches Jacksonville defense,
right,
as opposed to Atlanta.
Right. And that's what I figured I'd have to do. So I've got to see if my NFL replay will let me go back that far. And I don't know if
true.
It will.
There's always YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. So, but being a copycat league, you've got the Khalil Max, the Von Millers, these guys that are tweeners that are really outside linebackers that in a 3-4 that are maybe putting a hand in the ground. Who knows? you could really argue, though Jacquie Smith was successful early on last season, he really is just a speed guy. He doesn't have any other moves. He's not big. He's 260. He's not much bigger than Noah Spence.
I agree.
So if you put these guys down on the end, I don't really care which side you put them on. Are they going to be able to hold up to set an edge, or are they not?
And that takes away from their ability to rush the passers.
Absolutely.
When they're getting pounded and they're getting beat up by 320-pound tackles, I mean, you continually, you know, out there three downs, you know, and sometimes 8 or 9 or 10 plays on a drive, you know, that's gonna gas you in the fourth quarter. Listen, I love Simeon Rice. You know, he got a knock for not playing well against the run, but he wasn't brought in here to play well against the run. It wasn't his job. And, you know, he had a pretty decent linebacker over on that side that kind of, you know, kind of took
helped
care
out
of
a little
deficiency.
Bit.
So, you know, but you know, again, you need that. And he and people say, well, he would take plays off sometimes. That's okay. Because, again, they had somebody to cover his deficiencies at times. And if he did take some plays off. But the bottom line is, you know, if you throw Noah Spence out there as a rookie and say, okay, you're a four down defensive lineman now, how effective are you as a pass rusher? And I think we saw Jacquie Smith have some injury issues, and a lot of that may have been from the constant pounding that he took, you know, from being down, being on the field for majority of the time.
And trying to figure out how Mike Smith's going to be able to platoon these guys. And let's throw the defensive tackles into this stack rank, right? So I've got a list over here that I'm going from, guys, which I actually did, I guess it was the last show. So there may have been minor changes, but it should be relatively close. And I did my own stack rank. Most of these guys are the guys that we've got, with the exception of Noah Spence is the only rookie in my list that stack ranks a numbered list, right? So we've got Jacquie Smith, Gerald McCoy, William Golston, Clinton McDonald, Robert Ayers, who I'm intrigued by a lot, Akeem Spence, who I think is going to have a great year as well, and then Noah Spence. After that, we've got the underperforming George Johnson, who was the biggest mental bust in my life, I think, last year. I thought for sure he was going to come down here and do great things, and he did absolutely nothing. And then a bunch of people that most folks don't know and are rookies, right? I mean, Howard Jones showed up a little bit but then disappeared, so I'm not sure what he's got. But other than that, Cliff Matthews, Channing Ward, Travis Britz, A.J. Francis, Devontae Lambert, like, we don't have a very deep stack. So it's not like we're going to have a ton of guys that are going to be platooning in and out. So your point is even more solid.
Sure.
You don't have the luxury of getting two or three guys who are specialists, right? They're going to have to be on the field. So one of the concepts I think you're going to hear throughout this program tonight, and, you know, Mark had started talking about going along by over to the offensive line, is depth. And that's really where we're at, is you're trying to accumulate enough depth, have enough healthy depth, so when you have those injuries that occur throughout the year to every team, you don't have that huge drop-off in performance and production. So let's move over to the offensive line, which is where you're going to next, because I think there are going to be some interesting battles there as well. And you started talking about J.R. Sweezy, yeah?
Yeah, a guy that's coming off of some off-season surgery, didn't participate really in any of the off-season stuff. You know, and again, I don't doubt his abilities. He certainly was a guy that Jason Light's really high on. And Logan Mankins certainly wasn't the Logan Mankins of his Patriot days.
Right.
But, you know, that offensive line seemed to play pretty good together. You know, better than they have in the last several years anyway. So, you know, how does JR plug in and play? Do they lose some chemistry there? I think there's going to be a bit of a drop-off, and I hate the fact that he missed the offseason, you know, recovering from the surgery. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on, too. But, again, that really is going to show itself more in the preseason games as opposed to just training camp. Again, it's hard to really tell, you know, how the offensive line is coming together, you know, in practices and things like that. I think we'll see more of that once the preseason kicks off August 11th. But that'll be something, you know, during the preseason that I'll be paying close attention to as well, how the offensive line does. And, you know, for once, boy, there's some depth on this offensive line.
And
that's, you know, that's something that couldn't be said over the last several years. And that's good because, you know, that's a position that people get banged up. We saw DeMar Dotson go down last year in a preseason game at Minnesota. So somebody's going to get hurt this preseason. We know that, hopefully not severe. And so who steps in, who fills in, you know, how's the chemistry of the offensive line, and how do they do it with a brand new guy, and how do they replace that leadership that Logan brought to this offensive line, and that's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, and if you look at the way the stack rank is that I've got anyway, you've got guys that have played in the system, that played together last year. You pull Logan out, but you still got Allie, Joe, Donovan.
Who should be better in their second year together.
Absolutely. There should be more chemistry. Mm-hmm. Everything's not a surprise. It's not all new. They should, in fact, be more accustomed to the level of play as well, right? Especially one of the concerns for Allie was coming from you know, a smaller program, right, would he be able to handle it? And he obviously was. That's phenomenal. Donovan Smith, one of the things that he's got to work on is his footwork. If he's going to be out there at left tackle, he cannot be walking around in mud. And that was really one of the problems. That, and he gives up on plays sometimes. And that happens with young linemen.
I don't know footwork gets better at this level. I don't know if I'm saying that right. You either got great light feet as an offensive tackle or you don't. You're either, you know, kind of stuck in mud a little bit better. Now, technique, you can make up for some of those things with better technique with your hands and your base and those things.
Yep, your base and your hips, your ankles.
But, I mean, light feet and agile feet, you either have them or you don't. You know, but I think Donovan, you know, again, I'm not a PFF stat geek, and you watched him maybe a little bit more than I did, but I thought, you know, for a guy coming in as a rookie, you know, with a lot of expectations, protecting the blind side of a rookie number one draft pick, I thought he did an exceptional job. And he's got a little of that nasty, too. You know,
oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the trademark of this offensive line, you know, even when Logan was here. But certainly, you know, Allie is like that. We know Joe likes to find a pile down the field and clean it up. You know, and Donovan's got a little bit of that, too. I like that. And I think from what I understand, not from what I understand, I saw the Tom Cable do a video. If people haven't seen it, YouTube, Tom Cable and J.R. Sweezy. I believe he was the offensive line coach in Seattle. And he did a presentation to the Seahawks fans and just raved about J.R. and his nastiness that he has. So, you know, that makes me feel better about this offensive line. But again, you know, J.R. not being in there concerns me a little bit. But I think, you know, I think Donovan's going to be better. You know, he and Jameis are probably the closest as far as teammates go on this team. Spend a lot of time together. So, you know, I think not only is he going to be better because his second year in the league and he's a second round against some of these guys, he knows a little bit more what to expect. But, you know, when the quarterback you're protecting, right, is one of your best friends on the team, it gives you a little extra oomph, if that's the right word. You know what I mean? And,
yep.
You know, and you're gonna block a little harder, block a little longer. Jameis is smart. He's befriending his left tackle. And
absolutely.
Nobody other than maybe a receiver that he should befriend more than his left tackle.
Good quarterbacks always feed their line,
mm-hmm.
right? That's just all the way back to high school, right? You take sure. care of the guys who take care of you. And realize my critique.
And listen, all you got to do is go back to Varsity Blues.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, when he had the concussion. You
Billy
know,
Bob.
Billy Bob
rest
had the
in
concussion.
Peace, by
rest
the way.
In peace. You know, he had the concussion. But, you know, he could have Olayed that block on purpose. We don't know exactly what was going on. Did he really have a concussion? Is that why he missed that block?
I think it's pretty obvious that he missed that block because of the concussion.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's right.
Angelina Jolie's dad was just a bastard in that movie, so I'm going to blame him.
He reminds me of Mack Brown, man. Those two. I took a screenshot of that movie and a picture of Mack Brown, and they're almost identical.
Now, my critique of Donovan actually wasn't to bust him up. I actually
yes,
liked
it was.
What I saw last
no,
year.
You didn't.
But there's things he can improve on, and
sure.
that just gets us even better. But I still have him ranked, you know, number one in tackles and when you look at that stat,
he didn't make any tackles last year.
Exactly.
Speak slowly.
See, that's the thing. I got to slow it down. I got to Barney Fife it up, as someone said in the chat room.
I'm going to be extremely literal this entire show.
Okay, as opposed to extremely liberal, which I would never expect from you.
Hell no.
So, but you look at the stack. We get down to Evan Smith, J.R. Sweezy, Damar Dotson, and Goster Chehrelis. And I even have, you know, Kevin Panfield in there because I think Kevin did a good job when he got a chance to play last year. I don't know what we've got there. We got Play-Doh. Let's see what we got. But you're right. We're deep. We got a lot of guys. Now, Garrett Gilkey is still listed on this roster, which scares me.
I don't understand that because I haven't seen Garrett since preseason last year when he got hurt in the Miami game.
Just don't want to spend the money to update the roster. I don't know. But he's still
confused.
Listed.
He's listed
as just offensive line, which
he's the entire offensive line.
He is the line.
Yeah.
Now, we had a question in the chat room. Do you believe at the center position the Bucs keep two true centers, or do you believe we actually have two true centers, or do you think they're cross-training intentionally so that we have guys that can swing center guard?
That's interesting because they have been given a lot of guys reps snapping the football, and you wonder if that's a deal where they're maybe looking to dump Evan Dietrich Johnson the third Smith salary down the road. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I think Hawley is the guy, but I will say that that Jason, I believe it was Jason that told Scott and I that Evan's having a really really good offseason. So we'll see, but. I just like the attitude that Joe brings. You know, I wasn't overly impressed with Evan's play at center. But again, he adds depth and some versatility to this line, a guy that can slide over and play guard in a crunch, too. And you need those guys, swing guys.
Now, is it I know they're always trying to manage the cap. You're always trying to manage your money. There's no time where you're like, I don't care, we pay these guys, whatever,
right.
Make it rain. But at the same time, like, while I am a Holly guy, Evan Smith is a quality player, right? Mm-hmm. And if he can play multiple positions, he's smart. I don't see any reason why you get rid of him on the depth side, right?
Right.
I think you've got to keep him. And I love that they're cross-training guys. I love swing players like that that can play a number of positions.
You love swingers.
And from time to time. It was a great movie, right? It was before he really hit the prime time and had Jon Favreau, too, before he got fat, and then he got skinny, then he got fat, and then he got skinny. Anyway, you're so money, you don't even know it. You're like this big bear, you have these big claws, you're trying to hit that little bunny. If you haven't seen Swingers, by the way, you need to go watch that tonight after the podcast. Good to see Big Nasty out there. What up? Congratulations on doing the Fan View deal, man. That's good
Excellent.
Stuff.
Awesome, Keith.
And then also, Thomas Sandberg brought up a good point. He thinks that the missed block in Varsity Blues was because of the excessive amount of syrup that Billy Bob consumed.
You know, he drank it been... right out of the bottle at the, what did he say? The not the Ascracodon. I can't remember that line when... Mock picked him up in the truck that morning. What was that joke? Somebody will remember in the chat room.
Yeah, probably. I don't know right now, but if you remember that line from Varsity Blues, I'm assuming Thomas will remember. We had a question about when this will be uploaded as a podcast. It's usually within an hour after the show. Mixlr, the player on Mixlr, has it real time as soon as it gets rendered or
I'm
compressed
still waiting
or whatever.
For the version.
I checked with Chris. He did not have anything other than what I sent you. So I just think you don't like posting our stuff, even
That's
when I leave
true.
The profanity
I tried.
Out. It just makes me cry sometimes. But at any rate, let's move on after I answer this question. And thank you, Dreamscape, for pointing out that Mixlr does have it real time. If for those of you who can't, I know that our man, B-Shuck is on duty protecting lives down there, which we really appreciate all of our first responders, especially ones we know, right? Cause they're our friends. Let's go to linebacker because everyone's all excited about the linebacking core because we got Quan, we got Levante, we got Daryl, but
we got Jeremiah.
Okay, so this Jeremiah was a bullfrog, though, right?
He was a bullfrog at one point.
But he was also a friend of,
a friend of mine.
You got to keep going with it.
He loved to drink wine, apparently.
I love spoken words sometimes. All right, linebacking corps. I appreciate that you've got Jeremiah in your head. Like, you're good with Jeremiah, George. You got that up there. We need to talk about why I should be excited about that. Because I've got Levante, Quan, Daryl, and then other stuff.
Josh Keyes.
Yeah.
Kaya's, I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Casanova. We got Casanova. Bucks yes. Princess is going to want us to be all over Casanova. We got to get her updates.
She's an Auburn fan.
Well, and anytime a linebacker has a 40 number, it just doesn't look good for him. I'm just going to put that out there. If you get a 40 number, you better ball your ass off.
A 40 number is what, like, white high school linebackers wear with neck rolls.
It doesn't end with... and not fat neck rolls. No. With the Brian Bosworth
yes.
neck roll.
Yes.
So we've got this drop-off. Now, speak to me about Jeremiah George.
I'm just kidding. I like Jeremiah. He's a good guy. I don't know if he's a very good linebacker. I'll say I don't know anybody that's working any harder this offseason, who's more dedicated, who's more impassioned. I mean, the guy has got all of those things. But listen, he was, you know, a free agent and those kind of things. So we'll see. You know, certainly a special teams guy that played well last year, had that blocked punt late in the year. You know, and you know, is working hard. I know him a little bit, spent some time with him off the field. We did some youth football stuff together, came out and spoke to some kids over at Raymond James Stadium when they were doing some tournaments there. Good guy, great story. You know, guy you want to cheer for. And we'll see what happens. I know that he wants an opportunity and feels like he'll earn an opportunity to see the field at some point this year. So we'll see.
We had a question in the chat room about Luke Rhodes, who apparently was taking some second-team reps in OTAs, but it was OTAs. So, I mean, they're mixing and matching pretty aggressively mm-hmm. there. Is there anyone beyond Jeremiah George, who you obviously got a chance to know a little bit, that you are keeping an eye on? And I hate to use this. It's like this will be an incredibly sexist thing, which will fit in very well with the conservative platform that's going on tonight.
By the way, why isn't the TV on?
Because I hide the old-school TV so you guys don't make fun of me until I get my flat screen. So I had a panel built. So you no longer make fun of me for it.
Thank you.
And I don't need to hear Donald Trump say the same four talking points again. So I would much rather speak with you.
Because he's going
to
make America great again.
He is, and he's going to build walls. I love the guy that put the wall around his star on Hollywood. That was awesome.
Or as Scott Baio said, not only is he going to make America great again, he's going to make America again.
Oh, look at that.
That's pretty good.
Okay, and Ice Cube would say America. Right. See, that's another great rap reference that someone out here is going to get, and I'm going to get some kudos for it. But if women... historically, the ones who don't know football, and there's a lot of them who do, and we love the ones who do. It's awesome. And we love the ones who don't, to be honest. We don't really care. But I've had female friends in the past who have gone into fantasy football or gone in a pool and picked the mascot that would kick the ass of the other mascot or the better colors right. or whatever. So if I used a similar paradigm here, the linebackers with 50 numbers, Devontae Pond, Jeremiah George, Adarius Glanton, and Josh Keyes, seem to have the inside track
yeah.
on Micah Awe, which is a pretty good name, Casanova McKenzie, and Luke Rhodes.
Yeah, when they're handed you the 40s, yeah.
You better make some friends in the training room.
You gotta really ball out in training camp.
It's like my boy Marky Mark when he got the name was spelled wrong in his locker. You know, does it really matter? But anyway, I someone's commenting on this. Let me see this. Mark doesn't know what paradigm means. Shuck wanted me to tell you. By the way, nice Ice Cube reference. Thank you, Chris Oxendine. Thank you.
Ice cubes where?
Yeah, exactly.
Literal.
Exactly. Vanilla ice. All right. So linebackers we've covered. Let's talk about the area that, you know, I saw some noise about this today. Let's talk about safety, because I am really torn on a player, and I need you to get me untorn, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I need you to center me, as it were. I really want to like Keith Tandy. I want to, badly.
How can you not like Keith Tandy?
Because when I watched him early on, and I know that this is you know, it's first impressions. You only get a first chance to make, right. you know, or one chance to make a first impression. For every splash play he made, because he did have a knack mm-hmm. at being in the right place at the right
yeah,
time.
Finding the ball, right? Sure.
But when he didn't do that, he had a knack of being way the hell out of where he was supposed to be at times. And that drove me nuts, because I don't like those peaks
because
and valleys.
Because the secondary was so consistent last year, giving up 70%
great
completion.
Point. A great point. So was that a vestige of everyone just sucking, and so it made him look bad? Like that's why
Keith,
I started.
I want to like him. I think Keith is what you get. I mean, what you see is what you get with this guy. He's not – I don't know that he's ever going to be a solid NFL starter at the safety position. I think he's a good backup. I think he's good depth. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he has the skill set to be, you know, certainly not a star player in the league, and I don't mean anything negative towards the guy. I love the guy. He's dependable. He seems to be pretty smart. He comes in at times and, as you say, you know, can kind of be in the right place at the right time. But for every good play, there's a play where he's, like you say, completely out of position. Again, I chalk a lot of that up to the secondary in general, last year particularly, because – you can't point to anybody who played well. I mean, you know, when the general manager says Chris Conte was probably the most consistent
guy.
Yeah,
absolutely. And he was.
You know, and this is a guy that Buccaneer fans lost their mind last year when they signed from Chicago for the most part, right? I mean, you know, calling him a bum and
well, that's
because
that's what
things.
The Chicago guys had called him for the last 3 years when
well,
he was
that's
injured.
That's true. But I mean, he was as consistent as anybody, and that's not saying a whole lot, but I like Keith a lot. I'm not looking at this guy as a guy that's going to step in and really do a whole lot other than what he's done in the past. I mean, he certainly was valuable enough that they re-signed him this offseason, but you know, they're not paying him starter, you know, safety money. You know, Keith is what Keith is. He's a great guy, a great teammate, valuable to have on your team. But I don't know that he's ever going to step in and be. I know he's. I say no. That's not fair to say. I wouldn't put any money on it. He's going to be some five-year starter going
right.
moving forward.
So in my mind, safety's one of the spots. If you look at who we got in that stack, right? You look at the cupboard. You got Conte. You got McDougal.
Mm-hmm.
You got Major Wright still floating around, who was not untandy-like, right? He had moments of what my friend Billy said, moments of brilliance and moments of despair. But we can't tell. The canvas was so jacked, it was hard to actually eval any of those guys,
right.
You know, whether they were in the right spot or the wrong spot. But again, we get after that, and we don't have a whole lot. And when I look at this position, it's one that I think is ripe for a vet acquisition after cuts. You know, I think
yeah.
it's an area we could absolutely improve. Not that you can't do that elsewhere, but this one,
right.
to me, there's got to be other safeties. I was watching Hard Knocks from 2 years ago, and was it Taylor Mays, the guy that ran like a 3.240 and shot up the damn draft board?
Same as me.
And, yeah, it was almost the same. He didn't quite break your record, though.
No.
But these guys, it's almost like one of the most situationally successful positions I've ever seen, because you can have the same six athletes on six different teams, and one look like a superstar, and the other five look like garbage. And it's just amazing, because so much has to go together for that safety
mm-hmm.
to not look like a clown. Because
mm-hmm.
it's really, hey, if everyone else gets beat, it's on you.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I really haven't looked at the safety position a lot, but you're right. If you want to look at a position that probably doesn't have the depth that you want, It would be that position. And that's one of the reasons Keith was here. Obviously, there must not have been a ton on the free agent market that they liked, that they thought would be an upgrade over what they had. But you're right. Jason did a good job last year bringing in a couple guys, Holly and Chehalis, who, you know, were walking the streets when they were signed and ended up being contributors last year. You know, that wouldn't surprise me if that happened at the safety position. We'll have to see. I know that they still haven't given up on McDougal. I know that Lovey loved this guy, and he's certainly very athletic, probably the most athletic player of the group of safeties. In fact, that's not even probably. He is. I mean, and Keith, actually not Keith, I'm sorry, Chris, pretty athletic guy too as well. You know, but
also
those guys, well, and also too. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, as you say, that's probably of all the units on the team when you're looking at the lack of depth, and some question marks, that's a good spot to start with.
So speaking of areas that we have a bunch of bodies,
it's just speaking of, not speaking of.
Oh, good call. Good call. Also too.
It's a good call.
Speaking
good call.
Of uh-huh. Good call. Good call.
Right.
Areas where we have lots of bodies, but not a lot of answers. Wide receiver is going to be an interesting cut in my mind because they've got guys that I think are front runners that they really want to see produce. And this is where you may have some insight because you're up at One Buck Place all the time. You get a chance to talk to those guys.
Let me just say something now. You're putting all this pressure on me. There has been nothing going on at One Buccaneer Place in the last 6 weeks. Absolutely nothing. Crickets. So I don't have any more insight today than I did when we did our first podcast this year, like a month and a half
ago. Remind me to never invite you again, ever. I'm going to get
all
in.
You're putting all this pressure on me and people are expecting like some breaking information. I got nothing.
No, I didn't think you'd breaking. I thought
you
might
said
have
I'm
insights.
All up on what, you'd like Bart texted me today, are you on Buccaneer Place? No one is at One Buccaneer Place. I mean, they're just starting.
We were at One Buccaneer Place.
They're just starting to roll back in.
The guys
from
out
vacations.
There running on the field.
That was me.
No, you weren't there. Exactly. You just said that.
That's
keep
true.
Your story straight. At any rate, so maybe from a year ago when you had some insight before you became antiquated
I
and useless.
I can't remember a year ago.
Good Lord.
Go
Let's
ahead.
Talk about the receivers and not ask you any insightful questions.
Good.
I like
Vincent's hair.
Good. Excellent. And he's nice on Twitter.
I
good
saw
job.
Him
in, Way to be cutting
I saw
edge.
Him at the movie premiere of The Infiltrator. He was the,
I saw
the,
you
the
on the red
Buccaneer.
Carpet there, schmoozing.
No, I was the media next
so,
to the red carpet. I didn't get a chance
so
to
fancy.
Walk it.
You
That's
and
T-Kraz not true.
Are so fancy.
T-Kraz is a lot more fancy than I am.
Well, he's also taller.
But I'm better looking.
Whatever. So Vincent, Mike, Lewis, if his knees work. Lewis Murphy just kills me because when he's healthy, I love Lewis Murphy. He reminds me a lot of a guy I used to love a lot in Ike Hilliard. He just does the job. He knows where the hell the sticks are. Mm-hmm. He's a guy you can count on. And that Washington game, I was so excited. It was a coming out. And then, damn it, bam, there goes right. The knee again. Now, he's rehabbed. Allegedly, he's going to be in great shape. I've been an Adam Humphrey guy since day two, probably. I think Hump is a really interesting cat.
Is it Hump or would it be Humph?
I would call him Hump because I like Humpty Hump.
You like humping. Go ahead.
Sure, whatever.
Is that a Sir Mix-a-Lot song, too?
No, it was. I was actually doing Digital Underground, the Humpty Dance.
Okay.
I could link that to Tupac because he was in DU for a little while. See, that's how down I am. That's how I can get down here. And the people in the chat room appreciate
that. The whitest black
them.
Man I know.
It's a true story. But then we get into the Dante Dye thing. Super fast, get into the spot where he's going to drop the ball. Right, so if he cannot drop the ball,
you
that's
know,
good.
Gosh, boy, everybody beats this guy up. He had a drop, a major drop, you know, a drop that was really bad at a crucial time that probably cost him a game. You know, I've seen him catch the ball well too. I mean, you know, he's not Mike Evans drops. You know, he didn't drop 11 balls last year, but
that's a good point.
You know, he is that speed guy that's lacking on this team. But again, we've talked about this in podcasts before. Can you
back when you were insightful?
Yes, back. Can you keep a guy on the roster who's one dimensional in a sense? And that's why he's part of the kick return and punt return mix right now, because he knows he's got to make himself more valuable than just that speed guy. Because the couple opportunities he did have last year to really make a difference, Jameis didn't connect with him on a few of those, and he did have that big drop on third down that killed the drive. So, you know, but is he, you know, is he valuable enough? Is this, you know, is he going to be valuable enough this year to keep? He's one of those guys, as you mentioned. I mean, you figure there's four guys that are fairly safe. Obviously, Evans and Jackson and Adam, and then you've got Lewis. So, but now do you keep five or do you keep six receivers? And that's going to, you know, all that's going to be based on. People say, well, they kept this many last year. They're going to keep. It doesn't matter. I mean, they're going to look at it. Hey, we have more depth in the offensive line. you know, we're only going to dress seven guys, but we want 11 on the roster. So, you know, all of those factors go into it. Then you bring into the special teams aspect of things. So if you can play special teams and there's a chance when they're having those hard knocks type debates at the final cutdown weekend, Dante's, you know, this is all he can do, but boy, he really looked good returning punts in the preseason, so we're going to give him the nod and we're going to cut a lineman or somebody else.
You know, one of the most interesting pieces to these cuts, and you brought up a great point, is one of the things that Hard Knocks, I think, has done a good job, giving people a little bit of visibility to some of the thought process.
By the way, Florida State's going to be on the Showtime version of Hard Knocks this year. Go Noles.
I didn't know there was a Showtime
version. I didn't either, because no one has Showtime.
I do.
Well, there is one. Notre Dame was last year. Florida State's this year.
Didn't even know it existed. Well, that's cool. For college fans and for FSU fans, they can watch that.
You mean real football fans?
Sure. Whatever. I went to UCF. We don't even know what it is. It's fine.
Nice stadium, though.
Indeed. Christopher Oxendine has Showtime, too. There's two people more than you thought. Look at that. Look at the what's setting up here.
Chris
Lewis
Rock
Murphy.
Is listening?
Yeah, Chris Rock, exactly.
Okay.
He doesn't have his sitcom anymore, so he's able to watch our show.
Everybody hates Chris.
Lewis Murphy is in his eighth year, a number of injuries.
And he's a Gator, so he should be cut.
Not thinking special teams is really where he's going to make an impact.
Nope.
If Hump or Humph, depending on how you choose to truncate his name, if he shows up...
Did you say Trump?
No, I did not. If Hump or Humph comes up big in training camp and they can afford to lose a Lewis Murphy who may be an injury issue, that lets them keep a Kenny Bell and a Dante Dye and not have to stretch that wide receiver stack. Now, that does leave the Andre Davises of the world and the Russell Shepherds of the world out. But, I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
It's going to be, man, again, we talked about this. This is, I'm already stressing out about these cuts, right? And I'm not the one making them. Again, you bring up Kenny Bell. Here's another guy you feel is pretty safe on this roster. There's your five guys right there if you go with that. So
your tweener is at six. Do we keep six?
Exactly. And then you've got a battle, you know, between three or four guys for that final, you know, I think Shepherd, gosh, how does he not stick? He is a huge special teams guy. I mean,
That's what Brian Shucker just said that in the chat room. Shepherd sticks because he is so versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when he gets into the wide receiver, he does his job.
I will say this. Dirk has been given the opportunity this offseason to say Russell Shepherd is developing to a good receiver. A couple times, and again, this is why I'm so good at my job.
Which job? The dirt thing you're talking about?
Yeah, when I used to shovel, fill pots, 2 cent a pot for 1 gallon.
Two cent a pot, three cent
on the 3 gallons.
3 cents.
I should have been more, but anyway, that was my uncle. But listen, if you could fill, I mean, I could make $6 an hour if I shoveled hard. But anyway, that's what my neck
seems
is
like.
So
it'd be
big.
Awkward to shovel in that condition.
But I got used to shovels and rakes and hose. But what I was going to say in trunks and duct tape. And now I don't know what I was going to say, Bill Cosby, but what I was going
to
say
you pay
is,
attention to Dirk talking about Russell Shepherd.
He's been given the opportunity to say, yeah, he's really becoming, you know, he's really come on his way. And he kind of basically says Russell Shepherd is Russell Shepherd. You know, Russell Shepherd brings what Russell, you know. So he's been given the opportunity to rave about a guy and say, you know, how much he's developed as a receiver, and he just hasn't taken that lead, which makes me wonder, because Dirk is a guy that wants to see, you know, wants to have productive players on his team, not one-dimensional guys. So if all you are is a special teams guy, then, I don't know that that's good enough either.
Insufficient, right. And I think that one of the things we noticed when we had P.J. Fleck for about 6.5 minutes here, and he did such
Bill
a good
Cosby
job.
Bill Cosby is apparently blind in Pennsylvania in his home. I don't know if you read that recently, and was quoted as saying, someone saying he's living in his own personal hell. And I don't, know that I adhere to the whole karma thing a whole lot. But if there is karma, that's pretty good karma, allegedly.
Yeah, so I'm glad the karma took an impact before he was.
I love right when you're in the middle of something, I just bring up something completely irrelevant and throws you off, and you're trying to remember whatever you were going to say. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I remember what I was going to say. I just was going on to your topic because you're my guest, and I try and show you that level of love and affection.
Again, because I'm the only person who will come to your house.
Brian Chucker, will you come to the show next week? Because this guy's a jackass.
This guy lives down in, like, Cuba.
It
he lives so
matter.
Far down
it
south.
It doesn't matter.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Absolutely. The happiest married guy I know.
And
man.
Your root canals. You might have. You know, should have got that done before the wedding. But anyway, go ahead.
At any rate, we were talking about receiver. You were talking about Russell Shepherd, one-dimensional. Kenny Bell's a guy that's turned a lot of heads. You and I said the same thing. This is a guy you just feel like is going to be on the roster. Everyone seems to think he's going to be great. The injuries hurt him last year. But I had three guys listed as the players to watch that and, you know, one of them's not a sleeper. Daryl Smith, I think everyone's watching just because he's Daryl Smith. But I had Kenny Bell down because he's got to prove that he can play football. You know,
I agree. I mean, you know, you talk about a guy that had drops, you know, during camp and in the preseason last year. You know, Dante Dye had better hands than Kenny Bell.
Yep.
But again, a guy, and we've talked about this before too, a guy that does bring a little bit better, I mean, a different dimension to his style of play than Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. I've talked about his ability to stop, redirect, and get up the field with a nice little burst after he catches the football. Something that again, you don't want three of the exact same guys. You don't want three triplets out there, 3-6-5, 4-6 guys out there. You need that guy that can run the 4-4, a guy that can, you know, that can do things a little bit differently than your other two guys do. And Kenny is a guy that can do that. But he has to develop some consistency with his hands, too. But he is only in his second year. And let's face it, he didn't come from a air-it-out type offense.
Oh, come on. You know Nebraska's known for it.
No.
It's not true.
No, Tommy Frazier is still playing quarterback for them. And he's still running away from the Gators in the Fiesta Bowl.
Tommy Frazier. Wow. I am so old that that's an old reference. Yeah. So let's go to a position we are clearly stacked at.
The quarterback.
Tight end. Just guess how many tight ends are on our roster right now.
37.
That's a great. How did you know?
That's my job.
You're an expert.
That's why I'm good.
That's my job, he says. Look at that. Well done. No, we have a pile. We have 8 tight ends on our roster right now. Now, I don't think we have 8 guys who can actually play the position of tight end. But there is obviously a lot of attention. And
there's 4 or 5, though.
What? There's 4 or 5 that can.
There's 4 or 5 that can.
There are. And so the question becomes, if you've got to keep extra wide receivers, like in Dirk's offense, will he value? Because we've got a couple things. Like Austin Seferian Jenkins, listen, we can call him a tight end all you want. He couldn't block before. He can't probably block now. I'll see you in training camp. He's a split end. He's not a tight end.
Right.
And that's okay, right? If your offense
Neither is Cameron Brate.
Cameron Brate blocks better, but you're right. Mm. But they are the closest analog.
Dirk Cutter will tell you that Austin's a better blocker than Cameron Brate.
Okay.
I mean, just based on sheer size and mass. I mean,
that
he
doesn't tell you
he's
a blocker. His
better.
Torso is too long. I sat there and watched him get beat to crap in training camp.
That's effort, too, though.
It's more technique, I think. Yeah. I mean, he's an odd body type. He has got to get very low. There are some physics issues with him because he is so tall.
Right, right.
And that's okay. And I'm not, like, I remember as a rookie, I was not busting him up, but I wanted to bring it out. Mm-hmm. You need a coach to get him to understand what he has to do to get in position to make the blocks. And then it gets to the effort and want to. Right, because it's not easy to do it that way.
Right.
It's completely stupid. It feels weird. It's awkward. And they used to say when you learn how to do something, like when you learn how to play golf, if it feels right, you're probably doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so until you learn how to do it, so
it's like sex.
I don't know. I've been married for so long. I don't even remember.
I don't even know what that is. Enjoy, Brian.
So, yeah, exactly.
Newlyweds.
Exactly. Ren in the chat room wants to know if you have any opinions about Tevin Westbrook. Not Tevin Campbell.
He's Gator, so he should also be cut immediately, along with Vernon Hargraves. No, I'll say this. I don't want to say who said it, but his name rhymes with Racin. Fight.
Oh, that racing guy.
Yeah.
He is active.
Yeah. He's a big fan of Westbrook and the potential. And again, this is a guy who was a defensive lineman in college initially, transitioned to a tight end. Boy, what an athlete this guy is. You know, size, you know, got all of the things except experience at the position. I always like guys that switch from the offense or defensive side to the other side. I think it gives them a perspective. You know, I mean, again, if you're a defensive lineman, you know how the offensive line is going to attack you, and then you switch and you become an offensive lineman. I think it gives you a little bit of an edge. However, it doesn't make up for the lack of experience playing. You know, most of these guys have been playing the same position for the last 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it may be, you know, going back to probably youth football. So, you know, he's a guy that's going to be interesting to watch in camp. Again, he's a long shot to make the team just based on the fact that, you know, Do you gamble with a guy who doesn't have the experience and cut a guy like Brandon Myers, or, you know, they're not getting rid of Luke Stocker. They love Luke. So Luke's going to be here, and you figure ASJ is going to be here, and you figure Cameron's going to be here. So there's 3 right there. So now do you keep 4 or do you keep 5? You can't keep 5 tight ends.
You'd be nuts to keep 5 tight ends.
You know,
you have no option
right.
to do that, right?
And
with 4, you get people looking at you going, I'm sorry, do what?
Yeah, but here's the deal. Tim Wright's still out there. He's got to come back for his 9th time here in Tampa. He's a free agent. What are we waiting on? Come on, Dirk. I'm kidding. I love Tim Wright, too, by the way.
He's a great guy and not a bad, short, not very fast receiver.
Yeah.
Again, he's a split-end guy.
Right.
But You know, you've got the guy Danny Vitale, who everyone's all excited about. And I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. Is it Vitale?
Vitale.
Okay. So
just think about what you used to put in your hair when you were in high school. Vitalis. Just add Vitale.
Wow, you're old.
Uncle Bruce used
my man,
to wear that.
My man Shrupnuts in the chat.
Shrimpnuts?
Derek Shrupnell. He's got a great wrestling podcast, amongst other things. But he said that he thinks Dan's going to turn some heads. I think a lot of people are looking forward to it because people are still trying to find that next Mike Allstott guy. And he certainly looks the part. But
boy, he's a handsome devil, too.
Well, and I just, you know, the breaking news from a few moments ago, Mark Cook likes guys that go both ways. was what that broke down to. And so I'll be putting that
it's
up.
It's 2016, people. You should like that.
Embrace
that I like,
it.
You should like that I like both
You're
ways.
You're going to get thrown right out of your Republican caucus.
Yeah. Go Gary Johnson. I'm not in any caucus.
All right. Now.
No, it's seriously.
Seriously.
Danny Vitale.
Seriously.
I can't. No, I can't announce it. I can announce
what?
It next week. No, I can't say
what?
It.
You are the biggest tease of... No, you're not. Almost every woman I know is bigger tease. But
yes.
But for a guy, you are a tease.
I have one ovary. So that
explains makes
a
lot of things make right. sense, by the way.
And okay, I'll say it, but everybody has to close their ears and not hear it. We do a segment called Training Camp Diaries. And,
and you're going to do it with Danny Vitale?
Danny has agreed. Lee Steinberg is his agent. They agreed. We spoke
Lee
to Lee.
Steinberg's his agent?
Yeah, I know. That's pretty impressive.
Holy
for
crap.
A six-round guy. But Lee was all for it, and we're just waiting to get approval from the Buccaneers. And if that's the case, he will be one of our two training camp diaries, and I'll be speaking to him, you know, 6 to 7 times during training camp, 5-6 minute little interviews. And it's, you know, just letting him ramble on about, you know, how things are going, what's going on, what he sees
it's
in the offense and things. I think
that's
it's
a great
just
segment.
A unique perspective that,
oh,
that
yeah.
people get. Unfortunately, though, it was tougher to convince people to do it because we're kind of like the Godfather. When people see us coming and we kiss them on the cheek, they know they're going to die soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, Josh Freeman, guest at one of our draft parties, Ahmad Black,
Tim
guest
Wright.
At one of our thing, Mark Dominic, Tim Wright. Last year, Kenny Bell was a training camp diary and TJ Fitinikin. So, yeah, we're not real popular when we walk up to guys in the locker room and go, hey, you got a second? We're kind of like the Turk of the media.
Yeah, and I think TJ didn't get a fair shot. I like TJ a lot. Not that I don't like any of those other guys, but I think he had some talent too. But
mm-hmm.
No, I think it's going to be a great segment. I think you will have increased your female demographic on your web centric.
Some of the
sites.
Male demographic.
Could do.
Mine anyway.
Sure, absolutely, with the one ovary. A mark of the
Boy,
one ovary. The ginger badass with a single ovary.
And when he, you know, he shaved his head for the cut for the cure, and boy, he even got even better looking.
These are great sound drops. Chuck, I hope you're getting all of these so we can make them our ringtones.
I have no fear. I'm confident in my sexuality.
Oh,
I can,
absolutely.
I can joke about it all day long.
Okay.
Is that wrong?
No.
I mean, I wonder, you know, it's times have changed and political correctness has changed. Can you joke about a voice anymore? I don't even know anymore. I'm afraid.
You know,
I don't want to offend anyone.
I asked this question of a number of my gay friends, right? Because on my other podcast, which is how I get my catharsis.
See, if this were 10 years ago, I would be like, yeah, you got a lot of gay friends?
Yeah, I know. You'd be confused.
But
remember when I left Polk County back in 96 or whenever I went to Seattle?
1898.
I knew one gay person. No, two. There were two. One looked like Prince.
No, you knew a lot more.
Well, I knew that they were gay, right?
Exactly.
And then I got to Seattle and found out that there were gay guys that look like lumberjacks, and they were gay guys. I mean, I had no idea.
Did you say lumberjack?
I did. Mm. I barely said that.
Plaid shirts and beards?
Absolutely.
Mm. But, knitted caps?
But the reality is, I think with any of these things, it's where you come from, right? We're not coming from a position of hatred, and
no.
So I think that it's totally fine. And that's what my friends told me. In this particular regard, I don't know if it holds true for all groups or for anyone other than my friends. My sample set was admittedly small, roughly 5.
Well, if I make a joke and do a voice and the brawny man punches me in the face next time in Seattle, I'm going to know that it's not probably a good idea to do that.
Mental note, don't do that again.
Right.
All right, now, this is the question I want to ask you. Let me ask you this question. Jameis Winston, obviously you know a lot about Jameis. You follow Jameis a long time. We've talked about the deep ball being an issue for Jameis. One of the things that I think this offense has to do, because you look at what we left on the field, we had a tremendous offense last year. I mean, the output was tremendous. I think it was well in excess of what most people predicted. With Doug Martin having a great year, with Jameis slinging the ball down the field, receivers, when they caught it, getting a lot of yardage. But yet and still, as some people would say, and annoy the hell out of me, we were not able to connect on deep balls that were there. The plays worked. Mm-hmm. The execution wasn't there. Is this something Jameis is focused on, to your understanding? Mm-hmm. Is this something that you expect to see better?
Dirk wants
season?
It. Dirk
oh,
has
I bet.
Said it. Dirk said it out loud. You know, we've got to take those shots. And I mentioned it, I think, last podcast. Dirk, you know, it said that there were times last year when Jameis just didn't give his guys opportunities when he should have. And, you know, I don't know if that's him being a rookie, but it's so uncharacteristic of a gunslinger like Jameis Winston. But, again, I'll go back, and my Florida State fans and friends can back me up on this. Again, the deep ball was not really a Jimbo Fisher thing. I mean, you know, there were some of those Kelvin sure. Benjamin-type moments where you throw it up and let him go get it. You know, hitting guys in stride on 60-yard go routes just wasn't really part of the offense when Jameis was there. And so, I mean, it's not something that he's done a lot of. I mean, we know what Jameis's strengths are. You know what I mean? Give me – and I was watching NFL Network, I think, yesterday, and they were talking about Jameis Winston, and maybe it was NFL Live or something, but they were talking about – you know, Jameis in his second year, how he's going to do. And one of the guys said he's going to go in a sophomore slump. But they kept showing the highlight of that, you know, little skinny post. I guess that's what it was to Vincent Jackson in that Saints game. I mean, was there a better throw that he made all year?
No.
I mean, that was classic vintage Jameis Winston from his Florida State days. And things that, you know, he just loves to do. Things that we saw during training camp last year where a lot of those turned into interceptions. But, you know, again, trying to figure out what you can and can't do in the league, that's what Jameis uses practice for. But I think you're going to see that. I'll say this, during the offseason, and I don't mean to be, a Debbie Downer here, I didn't see any really improvement on that. You know, Mike Glennon throws a better deep ball.
And to be honest, I think Mike Glennon gets too much credit for his deep ball. I don't have a problem with Mike,
right.
But everyone's talking, he's got such a cannon of an arm.
The thing is, when did he ever throw
really
it?
He doesn't.
But he doesn't turn it loose in games, right? We go back to when he played, and the reason he's a backup is because he doesn't turn it loose.
Check down.
And so
Steve DeBerg just called. Throw the ball.
Without the brilliant play action. Was there a better play action passer
doesn't
ever?
Exist.
Exactly. But maybe Staubach was pretty good. But listen, the fact is, Jameis has got to get better at that because there's going to be opportunities this year. And we talked about this again last podcast. Dirk Koetter set up these long deep balls. Sometimes you can go three quarters before everything just, you know, you set it up and you set it up and you set it up and boom, there's the play. And Dirk had to be pulling his salt and pepper hair out through his visor last year when Jameis didn't make those throws when they were there, opportunities to make some of these chunk plays. And this team still had a ton of what I think 16-yard passes or
absolutely.
Their splash plays or whatever, but there could have been more. And I think you're going to see Jameis do that a little bit more this year. You know, again, teams are going to – I mean, thing is, though, if they start doing that, then teams are going to – it's pick your poison. If Jameis can get good at that, right, if there can be success with some jump balls, deep balls, long pass plays – then teams are going to have to adjust to that, and that's going to open up
everything.
Right into the wheelhouse of where Jameis is great at, and that's the middle of the field.
And God help him if they actually do have to drop back into deeper zones.
Right.
Doug Martin is not a bad back.
Yeah, he's decent.
You don't get to throw a lot of people in the box if you're too worried about that, right?
So exactly.
This offense, to be honest, is something that Bucs fans have got to be excited about, not just because of Jameis, but because of everything that has been put together here. The skill positions look stout. The offensive line has matured. Right?
There's more. I'm telling you, Scott and I debated this. There's more talent on this offense than the Super Bowl offense.
I think you're absolutely right.
Potential. But,
and
I'm saying if ASJ develops.
I get you.
You know, if Vincent stays healthy, Mike Evans doesn't drop as many balls. But, I mean, you've got two running backs that really are home run threats. Well, Doug Martin's a triple threat.
Yeah,
you know,
he's going to hit triples.
He's going to hit triples, and that's okay. But Charles Sims is a dynamic back. And I think really
– Johnson.
And duh.
Be careful. Do not sleep on Storm Johnson.
No, UCF stud.
UCF represent.
One of our biggest stories this offseason, one of our interns, Hannah Holges, who went to UCF, it still goes to UCF.
You always
to do
are
a
still
story
going to UCF.
On Storm Johnson. And, boy, she was smart. She contacted the athletic department, and they retweeted it, and it blew up. It was a great job by her, by the way. Shout out to Hannah. But you know, don't sleep on these guys. There's a lot, and I keep reminding people, and I'm paraphrasing what people say. I don't say we. Why didn't we draft another receiver? Why didn't we draft, you know, another tight end? Why didn't we draft it? There's one ball. I mean, and right now there's a lot of guys that are going to be saying, I want the ball in my hands and deserve and have proven they can do good things with the ball in their hands, but there's only one football. So, you know, you can always – it's a luxury to have additional guys like that. But the bottom line is there's a lot of talent on this team in you know, from the receivers. The tight ends are – it's untapped potential there, I really believe. And again – as I was telling Zig and Phil when I did the Sirius segment, Jameis' best friend at times at Florida State was Nick O'Leary at tight end, right? And he didn't really have that last year. Started to develop a little bit of that chemistry with Cameron Brate, which another great pass. I think that was in the Atlanta game. Those are Jameis Winston wheelhouse. You know, he's going to make those throws. Watching, and by the way, right now on ESPN, I don't know when it's going to be broadcast again, but the John Gruden, Brett Favre quarterback camp, whatever his show is.
Yeah.
Man, it's dynamic. I sat there just enthralled. My wife sat down for a minute. She hates football, and she could. I mean, it was just a great
good TV.
Boy, Brett Favre was a great quarterback. And I know Buccaneer fans probably hate the guy, but they still respect the guy. Some of the throws he made, he made a great reference. He said it was like a butterfly with tired legs. And John Gruden said, "What'd you say?" He says, "I dropped that ball in like it was a butterfly with tired legs." And all he could do was just land right in there. And there was a throw in that Oakland game the day that his dad died. It was just an amazing throw that, you know, just normal guys can't make. But see, Jameis Winston has some of those throws in his wheelhouse too. And so that's why I think people are so excited. Even people in the media are excited because, you know, we feel like we're going to actually cover a team that can be relevant again because it's been a long time. I mean, this
long time.
My sixth or seventh year with Pewter Report, not counting the time back in the 90s, but, you know, covering them on a daily basis. And there's a lot of excitement, not just from fans in the organization, but also in the media. And you kind of try and temper that down a little bit because you don't want to be disappointed. But maybe it is a year like that Tony Dungy second year in 1997 when they started the year 5-0 and ended up winning the division and beating the Lions and going to the playoffs for the first time in whatever it was, 15 years. Maybe
changing
this is that
everything,
year. It
right?
feels like it, yeah. is what I'm saying.
Well, and a lot's going to rest on Mike Smith and the defense. And we were having a nice conversation. I want to send a shout-out to the West Coast Buck fans and the Buckaholics when I was out in L.A. Nice little welcome out there. Got a chance to meet a bunch of – it's amazing to me still after 11 years when I go to Los Angeles to run into – you know, a group of, you know, I don't even know how many are in their total group. We had 12 people come out for Tommy's Burgers and for burritos and hang out and talk Bucks football. And you know, we were talking about the defense, and we were all excited about Mike Smith. He's a guy who's got head coach pedigree, you know, great disciplinarian, understands the game, good teacher, all these things. Almost all of the quotes that we used last year talking about Leslie Frazier are the same things we're talking about Mike Smith, and we're just hoping that he's able to do things that Leslie wasn't able to do and that the defense that he's able to cook up we'll take advantage of some of the skills that we've got here with the Noah Spences of the world and the, you know, the Jacquees Smiths of the world and who knows, the Howard Jones of the world. Like I said, Howard Jones right. did have some splash plays. He's got a different body type than some of those other guys on that line.
Because no one is to blame.
Are you doing a song reference?
Howard Jones.
Oh, nice.
I believe. Am I right? Somebody Google
No
that.
One ever is to blame. I know the song you're going to, but I don't know if it's Howard Jones or not. Shuck will tell us if he's not saving someone's life. But
he's not.
If you are saving someone's life, do that.
Let's get this Howard Jones thing cleared up. They're going to be fine.
They're going to be just fine?
They're using the jaws of life. The other guy's got it.
Excellent. Well, that's good. All right. So we've covered all the positions. I, of course, am telling people to, if we stop one slant the entire season, Smith will be a hero. God damn it. You're probably right. I can't argue that point. All right, we talked about sleepers. My sleepers are Storm Johnson, of course. B. Shuck, we need to know if Howard Jones sang no one ever is to blame.
It is Howard Jones?
I just asked Shuck. He said I missed it. So he just came back from the jaws of life. He put that stuff down and said,
he's like,
I'll be right back.
Be right back.
Just breathe
Stay with
slowly.
Us. Stay with us.
The air is getting thin because of combustion. So...
cars don't explode like you used to see on Chips anymore. They've done safety mode. You'll be fine.
How did we get this far without pointing out that Ponchirello is now officially a police officer following the footsteps of the Shaq Daddy and Skip Seagal?
I found season one of Chips like at Walmart a few years ago for like $7 in the $7 bin, and I made my son watch it. Well, he watched about two episodes of it with me, and we were joking at the beach this week. My buddy Spence was down, and he's like, my dad made me watch that piece of crap show. He said, what a joke. I was like,
bite your tongue, son.
You know, after I knocked him out and threw him off the bridge we were fishing on, I was like, don't ever say that again.
If you ever take Ponchirello's name in vain again, I will beat your ass.
I will get Sergeant Cotrera on you.
Shuck says Howard Jones. Right call.
Boom.
Well done, sir. And he also clarified he is not currently saving lives. He's currently baking cupcakes.
You know, these firemen, they're either saving lives or they're
eating.
Cooking, you know.
Yeah.
Rampart, we have a burn victim. Remember Emergency, there's another classic show, even going predating
Chips.
And like three people out of the 70 that are listening right now actually know what Emergency was.
Oh, well, that's okay. Our demographic skews young, apparently. It was interesting to be in L.A. and see the motorcycle cops and see the uniform. I have to admit, I saw it and I laughed because it's the same uniform.
Did you take your VW van again and go on a high speed chase?
I did.
Then roll down an embankment and then explode. But somehow you were fine with just one little red dot on your forehead. Where
and
you
there
scuffed
was
your...
no gas tank in the van again. Right when it flipped over, you saw, my buddy Brian Gershman back from Auburndale, I owned a junkyard. All that he used to get so pissed watching movies because when the cars flip,
yeah.
I'll say 9 times out of 10 because I can make up numbers because no one ever double checks these things. They've taken the gas tanks out.
Yeah, well, that's probably a smart move.
So Rockford File says Rendexed. Wow.
That's a great show,
too. Is that
too.
James Garner?
Hey, yes, of course. Here's my favorite all-time 70s show. I have every season on DVD, and I will loan you any one you want. The original Hawaii Five-0, not this new crap with Scott Kahn and whatever the guy is.
Scott Kahn's pretty good, though. I don't know if he's good in Hawaii Five-0.
He's got good hair, but there's a Varsity Blues guy.
Tweeter.
And anyway,
need to get your clothes off and get in this car.
This show's went to hell in a handbasket. Not that it ever was anything
else. It's been entertaining, though.
Yeah, well.
We laugh at ourselves.
We should actually do a broadcast show at some point. Oh, wait, we do. Just no one listens.
No one listens.
No one cares.
Damn it.
And no one gets any of our jokes. That's the great part.
I think people do get our jokes.
See, I don't want them to get our jokes. To me, it's funnier when people don't get the jokes. Unfortunately, only you and I find that funny, and it does not equate to ratings. But to me, I find it more humorous.
No, our ratings are terrible. Thomas Sandberg wants to get us back on topic.
Wait. This is the internet. Our ratings are through the roof. We got a 78 share tonight.
We did?
Well, that's only because we're the only podcast
currently.
So there's people who are listening to nothing. So there's 32% of the people who are not listening to anything right now.
Did you just say 78
or
20, 32
or
20 was 100?
I did not.
Jesus.
You know, Plant City, 1988. Go Raiders.
Sam Beavis High School football rules. Sandberg wants to know if you've had a chance to break down Robert Adam
Sandberg?
No, San Dimas.
Oh. Did I break him down?
Yeah, did you look at
I beat the hell out of him, and he's got a bum shoulder now.
Have you looked at any of his film? Because I'm excited about yours. I think you are.
I am and I'm not. It's guarded optimism, right? I mean, where was the guy for majority of the year last year? He came on. But, you know, again, we know the Giants do things differently, right? They bring their defensive linemen in waves and go with a hot hand. So, I like the addition of Robert Ayers. I know that Jason does, too. Again, another veteran guy. Really impressed with what he has to say, but we'll see how impressed we are when he's on the field. Look, he's going to be an upgrade over Howard Jones. He's going to be an upgrade over some of these guys they were bringing in off the street the last couple years to play defensive end. He's a veteran guy who has a semi-decent resume.
Well, and to Thomas, we'll look at more of that film, and as we get a chance to see him in training camp, we'll be reporting on that as well. And on contact days, like you said, when you get to the one-on-ones, we'll get a chance to see it, see what these guys can do. Again, I saw Howard Jones do some things I thought were good. It's going to come down to where these guys show up. I mean, you remember it wasn't that long ago we had a guy named Michael Bennett that most people didn't know who he was, what position he played. We did a lot of breakdown on him. A lot of us who were watching the film were pointing out how good he was, how consistently good he was. And then the shenanigans and hijinks happened, and we ended up losing Michael Bennett. And now people can't stop talking about the guy, and all he does is collect rings and championships and all sorts of stuff. You have these guys happen. Right, you got to get these guys that will do the dirty work. Like you said on the offensive line, I think we always talk about it with the offensive line. You want those nasty guys. You want guys that get in there and do the work. You need some defensive linemen that want to do that too, that take as much pride in stuffing the run as they do at chasing down the passer. And I think getting those things is really important. And you're right, Howard Jones did have the dumb penalty. You got to get those things out. I think that's one of the things that this regime is going to try and root out. The pre-whistle and post-whistle penalties are the ones you can control. And if it were Tom Jones, it wouldn't be unusual for that to happen.
It's true. What's new, pussycat?
See, this is what we do right here. Okay. Listen, I think we've done enough work tonight. It's 7:18 on the West Coast. See how I adapted that quickly? And by the way, Ren said that 78 or 88 is the new 78.
Look, if you're listening to the show for math,
you're in the wrong place.
You got some major problems.
We got some splendid to do. Ren wants to know, do you think the Bucs bringing in a veteran at every level of the defense was a planned move or just coincidence?
Say that again. I was texting.
Stop.
No, I'm not texting. I was just scrolling.
He was
Facebook.
Playing Candy Crush.
Not yet, but I've got 5 lives, so I'm ready.
Nice. It's still early in Vegas. What's up, Vegas Buck fan? Ren wants to know, do you think that the Bucs bringing in a veteran at every level of the defense was a plan, or was it just coincidence that they brought in a vet presence at each level?
No, I think it was important. We've talked about it. There's a lack of vocal leadership on this defense. Levante's not that guy. Even when Deshaun Golson was here, he wasn't really the overly vocal guy. You've got a guy like Gerald McCoy. We know that he's not going to be the rah-rah get the troops kind of going. And I think Daryl Smith is a guy that's going to do a little bit of that. Robert Ayers. You need that mix of veterans. I mean, you go back to that Super Bowl winning team and a guy like, now I'm just forgetting exactly. The offensive line guys that were brought in, you know what I mean?
They were 1,000 years old.
Guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Randall McDaniels and whoever else it was. Keenan McCardell, you know, guys, it was a nice veteran mix of,
right.
of kind of young and old guys. I think that's important to be. I mean, you want to build with younger guys, but at the same time, you know, selecting a few veteran guys who, you know, have resumes, as I mentioned earlier, can only help your football team if they're the right mix inside the locker room. Although, you know, I know that Mark Dominic was one of those guys that was so overly concerned about, you know, everybody getting along in the locker room. And yet guys like Brian Price slipped in and
right.
a few other bad apples. So, even if you – I mean, there was a guy that was a pass rusher for the Falcons who went on to play for another team out west. I won't mention his name, but had a reputation off the field of not being a great guy. And he was a free agent and could have helped this football team. Mark chose not to re-sign him – or not to re-sign him, but not to pursue him in free agency. And again, look – we go back to the Warren Sapps, you know, and rolling around and having fights with Chidi Ahanotu and stuff like that. I think that's a little overrated. I mean, yes, in a perfect, world, you want everybody to get along and love each other. We've talked about it, though. But for 3 hours on Sunday, that's what you're most concerned
about. Respect each other's teammates. Do your job.
Right.
And then if you want to go home, go home.
Right.
Right. You don't have to go to a picnic afterwards.
Exactly.
And I think to
get you can if you want.
Yeah, sure. You're not. Everyone's allowed to come to the picnic.
Sure. It's 2016 again.
Everyone's welcome.
You can picnic with other men.
Absolutely.
As I do often.
But if you want to be Dirty Red from Louisville and threaten to kill Warren Sapp in the locker room to shut him up, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, especially when you're Dirty Red and you're not afraid to actually do that, and when someone looks in a man's eyes who says that and knows he's not lying,
right.
This guy right now is going to sharpen his mouthpiece and
yes.
cut my jugular.
Yes.
I'm going to shut up.
You're going to get shanked.
All right, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Aaron's going to bed. I want to thank everyone who joined the live show on Mixlr as well as on Facebook. We'll get this posted after the show. I want to thank Mark Cook from PewterReport.com for coming out here as well. Can you tell people about any exciting things you guys have coming up at PewterReport.com?
I would love to, but it's all trade secrets at this point.
Okay. So you already dropped a hint about the training
camp
diaries. Was
yeah.
that the double top secret thing, or was there something else? Even?
Oh, no. There's some potential big news,
oh,
but that'll be next week. We'll know more about that, and it's going to be big.
Well, we're looking forward to some big news for you
huge
guys.
Huge Tampa.
Huge.
Huge.
Great.
And, we're geared up. You know, we had a great meeting, a staff meeting on Monday at Grimaldi's Excellent Pizza in West Shore Plaza.
It is
if you haven't been
pizza.
By it really is good pizza and good staff over there at Grimaldi's. So check them out if you haven't. But at a great staff meeting, we've got a couple new interns aboard that are excited about being part of the team. And, we've got some good plans for this training camp and during the season. And we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it turns out well. But we will start our 6:20 appearances next week, Mondays and Fridays, at least Scott and I. Not sure if we're going to be on one or twice a day on both of those days. We're still working out all the details, but we'll be a presence on 6:20. They'll be at a majority of the camp dates, broadcasting live. And, of course, Scott or myself will probably jump on daily with whoever the host is at the time for that. And we'll be all over 6:20. And like I said, hopefully some other big things coming up in the future.
Well, I don't know what the big things are, but I hope they come through. Obviously, we think the world of you guys and what you guys do. And
what we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead and say it. We're going to start a charity organization called What the Buck.
Pewter Matters.
And work with a foundation called Second Voice. And we're doing a school supply drive at a place called Berg's, and we're going to do our kickoff party on August 19th,
nice.
One day before you.
Nice. So you're following suit. You're doing what you guys normally do. You guys, all these local guys.
Don't say it.
It's all good.
It's
no.
a copycat league.
It is. It's a copycat league. I'm not going to get it. You're not going to bring me down.
We're actually not.
Ain't nothing going to break in my stride. Ain't no one going to hold
Matthew
me down.
Matthew Wilder,
no,
be
no.
quiet.
I got to keep on moving.
We're actually not going to do any of those things, but they require entirely way too much work. That's why we constantly just do
upon
this,
us.
Because you guys kick ass.
The one thing
lazy.
That I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to give you some wire cutters or some bolt cutters or something, some diagonal cutters,
yes,
maybe, and I need you to cut some of the fence at One Buck Place so that I can sneak in for training camp.
I'm going to have to cut a lot of fence for you.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
look, I'm right behind you. I mean, I'm pushing you. You know, and then you got to pull me through the hole too. I mean, well, again, we're not going through the bar and anybody's calling either one of us tiny.
Listen, I can make the hole bigger.
That's true. Yeah, I should probably go first. No, you should go first. That's true. I won't scrape my back. Oh. What are you credentialed for this year?
I don't think I'm going to be credentialed.
But you're
okay.
Going to be credentialed.
It's all good. I don't care. I'll be in there.
I need a pencil holder.
As long as it's the pencil and not the jock. No, I actually think that we have secured positions through one of the front office members in the VIP area, not in the press area. So I will enjoy the buffets and the delicious drinks.
There's a shock.
That's funny, given the fact that I've had all the water at your training camps in the past.
No, I just mean you enjoying buffets.
I know what you were saying. Yeah.
I'm not saying you enjoy the Buccaneer ones, but obviously you've enjoyed buffets in your life.
It's just another fat joke.
You're just mad.
You are a one-trick pony tonight.
You're just
tonight.
Mad Ponderosa is out of business.
Listen, Ponderosa can't go out of business. They have a cheese
Quincy's
fountain.
In Lakeland. There's a Polk
County
reference.
The Big Fat Yeast Roll was delicious.
There's no doubt about it.
Right now, everyone in this podcast is like, what the hell are they talking about?
Quincy's. How do you not know Quincy's?
It was the epic battle of Quincy's and Ryan's.
Ryan's.
Ryan's had the macaroni and the drumsticks.
My rehearsal dinner, my dad took everyone to Ryan's. He sprung the $7.99 for all you can eat. Thanks, Dad.
But everyone got one plate.
Oh, yeah. You
had 30 people. We just...
They shared.
It's like Eddie in Vegas Vacation. They go to the buffet. Oh, Clark, we'll just use one plate. Give me some extra of that blue.
That was pretty much it. As my dad says, there's a reason that people have money because they don't spend money. That's my dad.
All right, fair enough. Well, thank you for joining the podcast. We'll be back next week on Thursday night. I will most surely not have Mark Cook because I'm tired of him being a pain in the ass.
Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe I'll have Greg Allman. I don't know who I'll have. Maybe I'll not have
anyone. Won't have anybody because we'll all be tired from our first day at camp.
I know, all of that.
Because we have
not
to be there at
things.
8:45. Listen. Are you kidding me? What is this about? I'm joking. Everyone's happy it's 8:45 because... According to Dirk, it's 11 degrees cooler, and we won't, you know, last year there were times when we literally did not practice till 4:30.
Oh, yeah, because of the rain.
So you sit, no, just because Lovey had a few of those scheduled, you know, had some 2:30s and
4:00s. Oh, that's right.
And so, you know, you wait around all day to go to work, as everyone's feeling so sorry for me working and getting paid to cover football. But it really does suck when you have to go in late. Get it out. Get it over with early. I'll be home by 2:00, taking a nap by 3:00.
Yeah, that's that. You just made everyone love you. Everyone love you.
Yeah.
Right? That's
great.
As if
they didn't before, now they really do.
You're endearing yourself.
Well, I'm counting all my money, all my pewter report money.
Making it rain in quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Well done. The strippers love you. The coins hitting them in the...
You have change for this quarter. I want to give you a tip.
I want to give you a tip. But just the... Anyway. So training camp coverage. If you're not listening to us, or even if you are, make sure you listen to the guys at PewterReport.com. Follow Mark at MarkCook1970 or at PewterReport.com, or at PewterReport, rather. Follow both of them. He tends to tweet on both. Some more personal stuff on MarkCook1970, but
yeah,
they're
no,
both great.
Not much football, but yeah, more. But if you want Buccaneer stuff, it's definitely at PewterReport. If you want nonsense and bikini babes, then you go to at MarkCook1970.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
So at any rate, reminder, 8:20, if you're not there, I will never speak to you again. Though that might be an incentive, so I will take that back immediately.
Right.
Be there 8:20, 5 o'clock. It kicks off. We're going to have a ton of raffles out there. Should be a great time. And if you want to know anything about Canton, we'll probably do some live broadcasts on Facebook from Canton in 2 weeks as well.
That'll be exciting.
The Hall of Fame?
You broadcasting live on Facebook from Canton.
You don't have to watch, man.
I can't help it.
You can watch the paint dry.
You flip it on. Derek Fournier is live. Derek Fournier is live. What the Buck is live? You guys go live more than Two Live Crew. Boom.
Two Live Crew reference.
Had to call Luther Campbell one time when he worked at Geico to cancel his insurance
and
as an underwriter.
You knew Luther Campbell.
Of course.
Holy cow.
Of course. But and he cursed me out because we don't insure vehicles like, I say we, like I still work at Geico. I haven't been there in 15 years. But at the time, I was an underwriter, and my job was to tell people, sorry, we're not going to insure you anymore. Your policy is going to cancel in 15 days. And he was not happy when his Mercedes-Benz and his Rolls-Royce and those things were not covered under our policy.
Well, he's gotten you back by creating a juggernaut of high school football.
But I kept his phone number.
I bet, let's call him.
I'm sure it's the same.
It's got to be the same.
Yeah, he's probably had to move out of that mansion.
Maybe. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the show. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Follow us on Twitter at WhatTheBuck. Follow Mark at PewterReport.com. at PewReport. Why do you keep saying PewReport.com? I'm so used to saying, because I'm a hack. I'm a fringe media clown.
Yeah, you're not a professional broadcaster.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. And vote for for this clown if he wants you to on Creative Loafing. Apparently, a lot of people got nominated for something that
apparently,
we know.
Yeah, apparently.
Everyone but me was nominated for something.
I was
going to
say,
thing.
If you're breathing in Tampa, you're nominated. Except for you. Yeah, that's weird. I did vote for One Voice, though, so make sure you go vote for best, I think, local charity, whatever it is. Vote for those guys.
Yeah, we definitely want you guys to vote for the One Voice thing. As far as voting for Mark, we don't really care.
I don't really care either. I got no chance. I'm going against Derek Sharp and Martin Fenley. I mean, what chance do I have?
You're so killed.
Definitely by Martin. I think I can take Derek. I mean, because he's works at a radio station. He's not. Well, actually, he does write. Never mind. I take that back. He is a sports writer. He and I took the same journalism class at Plant City High School.
Look at you. So maybe I'll tie with you. Wait, I can't tie because I'm not even on the list. I will get no votes.
No.
All right, make sure you get out there and vote. Make sure you pay attention to what we got going on here. We'll see you on Thursday. If you have questions, get them in. And maybe we'll have some really great content next week because Mark will have actually seen something.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
I'm the third best writer on the Pewter Report staff. I don't know who the hell nominated me.
You said
it
when you tweeted that,
it's
right?
True, though. I mean, Eric Orci is a better writer than me, and Scott is, too. So I'm the third best. I'm better than Zach. I'm better than Hannah.
But you're friendly, and that's what people like.
But I'm the best looking.
Oh, listen. I don't know what it's like to be at home alone with you right now because you're digging you some years.
That's right. The wife's out of town. How's that pool?
Wet.
That's what she said.
Ask Mark if he was scared when he got out of his enclosure at Busch Gardens.
You know, I set myself up for that day. I was like, contrary to popular belief, no, I was not at Busch Gardens walking around without my shirt on. That has to be Stanley Brandt. Who is that?
Ren Daxt. I don't know if that's his pseudonym.
Thanks a lot, Ren. Appreciate that, buddy. Way to have my back.
Literally.
If you could see through the hair.
All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.
See you.